Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One of the things, turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Years ago, ever since I was about 16, I had felt that the Lord had told me that there was coming a nation-changing revival. And you know, here at the church, we've been talking about it for over 30 years. And one day, I forget how long ago it was, I was just reading along, and I got down to verse 32 of Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11:32. And this is talking about the heroes of faith and what they were able to accomplish. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and of David and of Samuel and of the prophets who through faith did what? Who subdued kingdoms. Could we say that who through faith subdued kingdoms? Couldn't we also say that that would mean that through faith they changed nations? Amen. Their faith ended up changing a nation. Well, where do we get faith from? What's Romans 10:17 say? It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If faith can change nations, then we need to hear what the word says about governments. And if we will hear what his word says about it, we can believe it and change a nation. Here we have proof that faith can change a nation. Well, I'm believing God for a nation to be changed. And that's why I'm studying the Word of God on what God says about government so I can start believing that. This is what we need to do. That's what we need to do. And faith without works is dead. Which what that means is what we have to do is when we hear God says, this is the way I want government to function, then we begin to try and endeavor to implement that. We begin to look to put that into place and to make it happen. And faith, when it has works, will produce fruit. And through that, we can change our nation. When we study the Word of God, find out what God says about government, begin to look to implement what God says about government, when we do that, then our faith can change the nation. It's the same process as it is with any other subject in the Bible. But our lack of knowledge is destroying, if you would, our nation right now. We're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Let's look at civil government. Civil government. God instituted civil government. Let's go to Genesis chapter 9 and we will read verse 6. Genesis 9:6. This is where God first allowed, if you would, human government. This is after the flood of Noah. Now, let's just go over the story that brought about the flood. Let's kind of work backwards from the flood. Noah and his family were the only ones preserved as a result of the flood. Everybody else was wiped out. Well, they were wiped out because they wouldn't get on the ark. They wouldn't get on the ark because their thoughts were evil continually. They were against God. Now, if you would, let's go back to the fifth. I think it's the fifth from Adam, Lamech. He killed two people. And he said, if anyone who put a hand on Cain would be judged sevenfold, he said, then they will be judged for touching me 70 times, 70-fold. Go back to Cain. Cain killed Abel. And what I'm getting ready to say here might be hard to process, but just it is what's in the scripture. God protected Cain. He marked him. No one was to touch Cain because they couldn't take vengeance because he killed Abel. God protected him. And if you would, from Cain killing Abel all the way up to the flood of Noah, there was no one authorized to punish evil. No one was authorized. So there was no punishment of evil, if you would. No legitimate punishment of evil. So with evil not being punished, what happened to evil in society? It just flourished. You look at our world today, and when you don't punish evil, evil flourishes. Evil grows. Evil increases because there's no deterrent.
We'll be right back after this break.
Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determined their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
In Genesis chapter 9, and let's read verse 6. He says, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. So Genesis 9:6 is the inception of civil government. And in this situation, he says, whoever sheds man's blood. So let's have the killer's over here. Here's the victim. When a person takes someone else's life, what was one of the self-evident truths of unalienable rights? They said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among these being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. First one they mentioned there was life. God basically said, if someone deprives someone else of their right to life, then they are to be punished. That was designed to be a deterrent, so that if you're thinking about killing somebody, you might want to think twice, because civil government is now in place and is authorized by God to take your life at that point. And so, as our founding fathers put it, they put it this way, that in order to preserve these rights, these unalienable rights, governments are formed among men. God, in order to preserve the liberties and the rights that he had given humanity, instituted civil government to protect the liberties and the rights of people. That's why civil government was put in place. Some people say, well, who's that judge to make a decision? Civil government is authorized to punish evil. It is assigned to protect the unalienable rights of all people. When those are violated, they are authorized and would stand accountable for whether they would punish it or not. And when they don't, that would be a violation of what God assigned them to do in that situation. So God, he created civil government and designed it. He created it and designed it. The design was to protect rights. That's what civil government is for. God did it. Again, the protection of Cain and the absence of punishment from Cain to the flood produced unbridled evil. It produced unbridled evil. You see, God formed civil government to punish those who violate the rights of others. To punish those who violate those rights. That's what the Word of God says. And at that point, again, let's take those who don't want anyone punished. If they just don't want anyone punished, are they aligning with what God says about government? No. They're not aligning with what God says about government, because God is saying government should punish evildoers. What did Paul say in Romans 13? And which, very quickly, the intent of Romans 13 is to communicate government when it's functioning properly. It is communicating God's design for government, not our design under government in every situation. Because what he said there, let's go ahead and turn over there, Romans 13. We'll read that. We'll start with verse 1, Romans 13, 1. Because especially during COVID, it amazed me how many people asked me this one singular question. But aren't we supposed to obey the government? And I don't know how many times I heard that. And finally I thought, well, and because even some of them asked me more than once, but aren't we supposed to obey government? Even after I'd answered it, they'd come back later. Well, aren't we supposed to obey the government? I thought, my answer's not getting through. I need to change my answer. You know, because it's like a quarterback in football. If you're throwing a pass, the object is to complete the pass, not just to have thrown it and say, well, the receiver should have caught it. I need to put it where they can catch it as much as possible. And with that, you know, years ago, with us believing in healing, it used to be asked this question, well, do y'all believe in going to the doctor? Do y'all believe in going to the doctor? And I would answer that legitimately. And some of the same people would come back, well, do y'all believe in going to the doctor? And I'm like, man, they're not hearing my answer. I need to change how I present my answer. I don't need to change what I believe, but I need to change how I present it so they can get it. And in a lot of these cases, shock is a help. Shock value is a help. And so I got to where when people would come to me, well, don't y'all believe in going to the doctor? I'd say, well, we believe everyone but one group of people. It's okay for everybody but one particular group of people to go to the doctor. Well, who's that? Who's not supposed to go? I said, anybody that believes God made them sick. If God made you sick, then don't go to the doctor to get out of the will of God. Oh. And actually more people got it doing it that way. So when it comes to, you know, Romans 13, are we supposed to obey the government? After trying to explain it and trying to explain it, I just decided, well, I'm going to use a little bit of shock value. And so I got to where I'd tell people, I said, well, in general, I agree with you. I said, but something you might want to consider. I said, the man who wrote Romans 13 talking about obeying the government spent a whole lot of his life in jail. So it might not mean exactly what you think.
We'll be right back after this break.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
But really what Romans 13 is for is for how God designed it, the way it's working when it's working properly. Verse 1 of chapter 13. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And that's true straight across. And the bottom line is every authority that exists will have to stand judgment before God for how they execute their position. That's why nations got judged in the Old Testament, is because the position that they held, which was given by God, they handled it inappropriately. And so they got judged. Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise of the same. In that situation, we see a lot of cases in the Old Testament where that's not how it was playing out. I mean, let's talk about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They kind of got thrown in a fiery furnace. Daniel got thrown in a lion's den. The rulers don't always do what they're supposed to do. And in that case, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they were all correct in violating the civil ordinances. They were all correct in doing it. Let me even tell you about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. Jesus didn't follow protocol. You're not supposed to touch a leper. Matthew chapter 8, the leper came to him. If you will, you can make me clean. It says immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, which he wasn't supposed to do, and he was healed. From that standpoint, again, obedience to God supersedes civil law. And by that, as the old saying goes, be careful of the voices in your head, though. Some people get listening to the voice and they're hearing the wrong thing. It's God speaking to our heart, and it always has to line up with the Word of God. Can we say amen? Amen. So in this, again, let's go to the letter G. God formed civil government. He formed it and gave it purpose. Accordingly, and this is important, it is accountable to him. See, we're accountable to God because God made us. Civil government is accountable to God because God made civil government. He brought it into existence. It is his creation. He designed it for certain things, and people are to use it for what he designed it for. And if they do not, then they are accountable to him and will be judged by him. Letter H, his principles must guide and be the foundation of policy if a nation is to avoid judgment. If a nation, see, we get judged for eternity. Nations have to be judged in more real time because a nation doesn't go to heaven in that sense. They have to be judged here in real time within generations. His principles must guide and be the foundation of policy if a nation is to avoid judgment. We must seek to implement policies that are consistent with God's word.
We'll be right back after this break.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert. where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
Now, let's look at our nation and other nations, because God judges nations. God judges nations. Let's go to Matthew 25. This is a passage that after Jesus comes back from heaven and is setting up his earthly kingdom. We won't read the entire passage, but I want to just read certain parts of it here. If you look in verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory." Verse 32, "All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." Now, let me just throw something out here. This is talking about something that will happen in Israel. All the people on the planet cannot be in Jerusalem. It's not big enough. It's just not big enough. So, if these people are brought before the throne of Jesus, if all the nations are gathered, then I would present to you that when the nations are brought, it's the leaders of those nations. Just like in the UN, every nation can be represented in one building. The nations will be brought before him. The sheep nations will be on the right. The goat nations will be on the left. Now, we're all familiar with the criteria. You know, Jesus says to the sheep nations, the righteous, "I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was in prison and you visited me." And they said, "Lord, when did we ever do this?" Now, let's look at verse 40. And when they ask him that, his response in verse 40 is this: "And then the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" Now, let me bring out something that the application of how it's preached isn't a wrong thing, but it's not the right interpretation. It's always good for us to help people. But in this situation, the actual context is nations. This is not a judgment of individuals. This is a judgment of nations. It's how a nation has handled things. Isn't that what it said in verse 32? All the nations are gathered before him. Sheep on the right, goats on the left. The nations. If you would, again, these are the leaders of the nations. And what is the criteria of their judgment? The treatment of his who? If you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. Well, if you would, Jesus has two families. So in that sense, he's talking about their policy and actions toward the church and the descendants of Abraham. Jesus, according to the flesh, is of the seed of Abraham. Jesus, in regards to the church, is the firstborn among what? Many brethren. If you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. In other words, he's judging the nations on their policies toward the church and toward Israel. He judges the nations on a policy. Because if you would, government action is the result of policy. When the Supreme Court ruled that same-sex marriage was constitutional, did that change government action? Did that change policy? Yes. Therefore, did the policy change also create change in action? Yes. It wasn't they just said, "Yeah, it's constitutional," and then no one of the same sex got married. No, action was the result of a change in policy. What he's saying, if you did it to the least of these my brethren or to the goats, you didn't do it to the least of these my brethren. Your actions were the results of your policy. You as a nation, because again, it's the judgment of nations. You as a nation, you didn't take care of my brethren. And when you didn't take care of my brethren, you didn't take care of me. Your actions were wrong because your policies were wrong. And in that, when God judges the actions of a nation, he is judging the fruit of their policies. So in conclusion, shouldn't we seek to have our nation be a sheep nation? Shouldn't we seek to have our nation be compliant with God's direction for nations?
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.